Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Today is, well, actually the time is 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is 7/16/2022, and you're tuned into The Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of The Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It. And what a week it's been so far. We have some topics we're going to go over, and we have a special guest that's going to join us in the second hour. So thank you. Thanks to all of you who are joining us on this beautiful Saturday. I'm broadcasting from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And a couple of the co-hosts, one, which is Mr. Time and Ship, he's going to be out of town, so he's not going to be able to join us today, but he'll be back next week. In fact, the lady of the house, Janet Davis, she's out of town, and she's heading her way back, and she plans to be joining us at least by the second hour. So right now, it's just me, okay? And Cotton Campbell should be joining us shortly, all right? I do see, I know whose number this is. LJ, I see you there, all right? I see you on the board. But again, welcome to the show, and, you know, every week we go through things and we try to discuss things that are, just hot in the news. And first of all, I want to say what's hot in the news here is that people are saying that the theme song to the show is too long. Okay, so let me get this correct for you. That opening theme was written by Mr. Joe Foxworth, former keyboardist and vocalist for the group Ozone on the Motown label. Y'all remember Feel Like I Wanna Strut My Thing, you know, yeah, stuff like that, and Jiggle It From Side to Side by Tina Marie. Right, well, Joe wrote that, and he was a guest on the show, and he gave me that song. It's called Conversation Piece. But prior to that, the guitarist for Ozone, his name is Darren Durst, did a song for us, and it's called The Michael Gay Show. So what I'm going to do, I might play just a little clip of it later on, but I'll probably open the show next week. It's a little bit shorter, okay? Fortunately, we have a few themes that we can move around with. All right, so, but no, that is not really the hot topic. I want to talk about a few things that are in the news, but something that crossed my mind, and sometimes things will cross my mind, you know, the night before the show or the day before or even the day of. And as some of you may have seen, is that the Emmett Till case, that here a warrant was discovered for the woman who really started this whole thing, Carolyn Bryant, the white woman who really was the start of the chain of events that eventually had Emmett murdered. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the case went to trial. Brothers were found not guilty by an all-white jury, okay? And then they had the audacity and the nerve to go ahead and do a news article and say, yes, we did it. We did. They told every detail. And I understand that, you know, you can't, you know, the law can't be double jeopardy. Once you're found not guilty, then you can't retrial not guilty. But really, you know, is there anything that can be done for this family? And now that there was a arrest warrant discovered for Ms. Bryant, is there anything that could be done? Because it was what she said, what she told everyone had occurred. And now in her memoir, alleged there's some evidence that she pretty much had a bit to do with it. I'm under the impression that where, you know, or at least I was told that, you know, there's no statute of limitation for murder. Whether you are the gunman, whether you are, if you are part of the conspiracy, or if you have participated in any way of covering the body or evidence or whatever, it's still murder. There should be no statute of limitation. So I want to get into that. And I see that Officer Crenshaw's here, and he has his hands up. So let me open up his mic. Good afternoon, Officer Crenshaw. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm joyful.
Amen.
I'm excited. I got some wonderful news, mm-hmm. Mike. I'm gonna try to stay with you as long as I can. But
okay.
I just met through Ancestry. You know, I found out I knew my father's name, but I found out through Ancestry some history, and I've been contacted by what apparently is now my sisters and brothers that I never knew I had after almost 60 years.
Are you serious?
So we're making. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I'm excited about it, you know, because it's almost like a dream come true. You know, I had my
mm-hmm.
siblings that I grew up with, but now to know that I have more blood related siblings. You know,
mm-hmm.
hell, it's a couple of hard-ons, Mike. That's all I can say.
But let me ask you this. Were you kind of like aware a while back that, well, I'm pretty sure you were, but were you kind of aware that, hey, look, I do have some biological, you know, siblings out there? Were you aware at an early point in your life, or did it come about later on?
No, I was 23 years old when I found out my father's name.
Okay.
And being the type of person I am, I never tried to locate him, find him, or anything. You know, I figured, hell, mm-hmm. I made myself who I am. You know,
right.
And then my mm-hmm. wife and daughter come to do the ancestry thing, you know, here a little couple of years back, and boom, you know. I mean, my mom always told me he was a much older guy than
mm-hmm.
she was, so I figured at my age and my mom's gone, you know, he's probably gone. But
right.
I never thought about siblings or, you know, anything else like that. On that side, I figured, you know, I just never thought about it. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay. So when I mean, I'm sure that you, well, this is really interesting that you brought this to our attention, that you're sharing this, and I appreciate it, because that's something I always look at is ancestry and, you know, family members that you don't know about. But so are you guys planning, have you, I guess you haven't talked to them yet, but are you communicating in any certain way with them and planning a time that you're going to meet and where?
Well, we were communicating on Ancestry, and I called her today, and she's my older sister. damn, and
wow.
I thought I was old. My older sister, and she's supposed to call me back later today, so we can just kind of dig and dive right into everything and feel
mm-hmm.
each other out, you know. So
well,
I do know
right.
I have,
right.
you know, yeah, I have another brother, another sister, and a niece that I'm aware of, so I'm sure it's more
mm-hmm.
in there.
Oh, man, that's fantastic news, bro. Seriously. Wow, I didn't expect that when you said I thought you were going to tell a joke, because you normally do. But that's no joke. That's no joke. Man, I'm truly happy for you. Go ahead. You there? Okay, let me open up this mic here. 3, 4, 6, 2, 7, 4. I think this is Cotton. Hey, what's happening? Happy Saturday.
Hello.
All right. I'm glad you got here early. Did you hear what Officer Crenshaw just shared?
I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard something about Ancestry.
Okay, his call dropped. I guess he'll call back. Yeah, well, he went through Ancestry and found out that he has a brother and sister. Well, a sister and some brothers and a niece. I thought he was calling and was going to make a joke, but no, this is real. So, I guess he'll be calling back in. He said he's going to try to hang in there with us as long as he could. Okay, I guess he's back. Let me go ahead and open up his mic here. All right. Chris, are you back?
Yeah, my line dropped for some reason. So, yeah.
I don't know why either. But
can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I got an old phone,
yeah.
So the line popped.
Okay. Well, Cotton's on the line. She says she heard a little bit of it about you through Ancestry. You've managed to connect with some actual siblings. That's a blessing, man. Really, that is.
Hey, Casey.
Hey, Officer Crenshaw.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, it's funny that you said that, because before they started charging, that's how I found my dad. I hadn't seen him. I didn't meet him until I was 34, but that's how I found my dad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited and I'm scared.
I kind of figured that. Right.
Apparently they grew up and have been there all their lives in the town that I was born in.
Wow.
Yeah, if you don't mind sharing, is that here in Georgia? Oh, of course, I guess it's here in the state of Georgia. But is it kind of close in proximity or a little distance? Or were they, like, right there? You probably could have ran into them numerous times, maybe, and didn't even know it.
No, they're in Texas, and I've only been
to
Texas a couple of times in the military and traveling through, going to Fort Hood, Fort Lewis, Fort Bliss, but I've never actually been stationed there. I've just gone through for 2 or 3 weeks and then moved back out somewhere else. So
I
got through. I was born in Amarillo, Texas, so I've actually traveled through Amarillo probably 4 times when I was stationed at Colorado to go to those units, and never knew anything about them. So, you know, it's, you know, the Lord works at his pace, not ours.
You got that right. That's right. That's right. That is so true. I see Lady Justice, I believe, is here on the board because, see, she popped up first. And when I saw her number pop up, before the show even started, I said, wait a minute, I recognize that number. So I looked in my little Googleplex, and I was like, that's LJ. Lady Justice, happy Saturday to you. Well, you hit the number one, so I opened up your mic.
Look at you. Recognize.
Hey, I got to recognize, you know.
It's about time. I was waiting.
So, well, I saw you there. I knew it was you. I knew it was you. I just said I saw you. You were the first one who called in, and I went into my little Rolodex phone, and I looked. I said, oh, that's Lady Justice. So I just waited until you waved your hand.
Yay.
Right.
So listen, here's the funny thing that we're on this ancestry thing. Because one of my little cousins, we did a fishing derby last week for kids in Kansas City. And the person that is running that, he has a syndicated TV show. It's called Urban American Outside. Wayne Hubbard, he does that fishing show. He's a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's related to me. I had no clue.
Really?
But when we did this derby, his daughter came up to me and she said, are you a Van? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did you know we're related? And I'm like, girl, you just researching all over the place. But she said that's what she does. She has a company, a business called Connecting Something. But she actually researched all that stuff. And it's just so funny that he brought that up today, that it just all correlates. That's funny. That's just, see how God works? Find out stuff about folks
you
don't even know.
Yeah, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. I have to say that the other night it was so crazy. I was, and when you're talking about how God works, I was thinking about a person we had a guest on. In fact, Officer Crenshaw, I think you had joined us back when we had Mr. Robert Taylor on, who lives in Camper Alley. Do you remember that show? And we lost contact with him, and I was like, we got to find him. I told Janet, we got to find him. And I kept looking. I didn't know if he was still alive or not, but come to find out, yes, he is. I saw some recent articles of what they're doing. And you guys, seriously, do your research about Cancer Alley. Granted, we've had the pandemic, you know, the world shut down. Many people died. People are dying every single day almost right here in the United States along like an 80-mile area due to corporate businesses or corporations that are dumping toxic waste and stuff like that. They can't sell to anybody. It's useless. And it's getting into the water. It's getting into the air. And people are dying. And we had this gentleman on the show, and I think I shared before, that when we asked him to come on, he was in California now. And when we were telling him what time we came on, and he said, well, I'll be on the plane in the sky at the time your show comes on. And then he said, well, hold on. Let me call you back. And he called back and said, okay, I could make it this Saturday. This man actually changed his flight in order to be on the show. He doesn't know us from Adam. He changed his flight to go home in order to make sure he can share the information he shared with us that day on the show.
Wow.
So we're in contact with folks, and we're getting back in contact with him. We want to get him back on. But what was so crazy that happened, I just happened to put in about this whole thing. And General Honoré, you all know him, right? You all know him from Katrina. He was the general who took control down there in Louisiana during the flooding and everything during the storm. And
right.
All of a sudden, boom, this pops up, and here's a video where he's involved in the whole thing. He lives there, and he's fighting the same battle. He's fighting the same thing. So I just shared that because the way God's work, the way God works is like, where, wow, all of a sudden I get this news that this brother's here. Now I'm seeing where this guy's here, and this is going on. You know, everything comes together for a reason. So that's a blessing for you, my brother, and Crenshaw. I'm glad to hear that you are networking with your siblings. And hopefully, you know, once you guys get together and everything, well, you know, you come back and share a little bit about it. That's awesome, because there's a lot of individuals out there who do have family members and don't know how to contact them. But like Cotton said, at one point it used to be free, but now you got to pay. I wish it was free all the time for everybody.
Well, you know what's
there's
crazy,
a lot
Mike?
Of folks out there in the streets. Mm-hmm.
You know, God works his way. And as much
correct.
As these politicians want to try to get rid of and change history and take books out of school and not teach different things, so because they're afraid somebody's feelings going to be hurt, God is putting people
mm-hmm.
in contact with people he feels at the time needs to spread heritage, background,
right.
history.
Well, right. So I want to do this, though, first. But I'm sorry, but the thing is, I want to stay on course for this moment. I appreciate you sharing that. That really uplifted me, because I'm glad to hear that. You know, you and I talk all the time, so just keep us posted, and I hope you will definitely be willing to come and share how that meeting goes. You know, that I'm sure it's going to be great, you know, and we're going to, you know, definitely look at that in the future. But I want to stay on point, because what I want to share with you guys and want to talk with you guys about is this whole thing with Emmett Till. You know, this happened many, many years ago. And I don't know if you've been paying attention, but, you know, what's her name? Carolyn Bryant wrote a memoir. Also, recently, they discovered an arrest warrant for her that was never given to her. It was found in a box in a basement situation. It was hidden. Now, Officer Crenshaw, you know how the law works. There is no statute of limitation on murder, right?
Right.
Does that even go towards if you are an accomplice or conspiracy? You know, they had to have an arrest warrant for her for some reason, but she never got it. But now, from what I understand, that the attorney general does not plan on prosecuting her. Now, so for many of you folks who don't know, most of you on the phone should know about the Emmett Till case, where he was beaten, murdered, disfigured so badly that his mother even chose to have an open casket for the world to see how her 14-year-old son was violated in this way, killed him this way. But the two murderers, which were brothers, they were found not guilty by an all-white jury. But shortly after, they did an interview in Life magazine and told, yes, we did it, and told the details of a murder. Now let's fast forward to what's happening now with the killings of individuals, of black individuals, I should say. I mean, I want to get your point of view. Do you think that this woman should be charged? And by the way, let me just give you a little background before I open up your mics real quick. Well, your mics are open, most of you. But here is where it says, here's the proof against Carolyn Bryant Doham, which, of course, she remarried after her husband had died in the Emmett Till case. Is it enough to convict her is the question. So, and bear with me. A secret memoir contains new proof she is lying about the night Till was killed, retired FBI agent says. Okay. Let me just scroll down. And if you look this up, you'll see, and I'm going to share with you guys where I'm getting my information from, because I want folks to say, it's fake news, man. It's all fake news. You know, I don't buy that bullshit, that narrative. Everything is fake news. When Walter Cronkite told you that Kennedy was dead, did you think that was fake news? No, you just didn't believe it until you saw he really was. Okay, so everything's not fake news. So here it says, the secret memoir by the 88-year-old white woman at the center of the Emmett Till case contains new proof she is lying about the night he was killed, said the retired FBI agent who investigated the 1955 murder. A grand jury should hear this information along with additional information collected by authorities, Dale Killinger said after reading the memoir. Quote, I always err on the side of a group of citizens hearing evidence and weighing it. Carolyn Bryant Doham's memoir, obtained by Mississippi Center for Investigative Report, constitutes new evidence that a Mississippi grand jury never heard when it declined to indict her on manslaughter charges in 2007, he said, but convincing Mississippi authorities to do so is another matter. In a statement, Michelle Williams, chief of staff for Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch, called Till's murder a tragic and horrible crime, but the FBI, which has far greater resources than our office, has investigated this matter twice and determined that there is nothing more to prosecute. But they just found this document. Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts on this whole thing right now? Should they actually go after this 88-year-old woman? And really, age doesn't matter, because Whitey Bulger, shit, they found his ass hiding, you know, and they still got him.
Well, age doesn't matter, and depending on the date of the warrant, if it was dated during the trial or shortly after, or if it was dated after the memoirs to where more evidence came forward, it should be at least making false statements to law enforcement, which it might have a statute of limitations, because they can't really try her under, they can't lock her up under manslaughter, because she didn't actually do the crime. She just gave information that contributed to the crime being committed.
Mm-hmm.
So they could only get her on false statements. And that's, if I'm not mistaken, it's like 2, 3, maybe a 5-year statute of limitations on that. It might be less. You know, they should have actually proceeded with it, you know, when they first took it out. If the evidence, just say, for example, if the evidence just came out and it was brought to light and the warrant was just done, it should be acted upon. But if the warrant was done 5 years ago and it was never acted upon, the statute of limitations has expired.
Okay, I want Lady Justice to chime in with her thoughts about it. But here's the thing, though. So somebody in law enforcement or in the justice system, I'm not going to say they dropped the ball. They intentionally did this. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes.
Because this is a document that was supposed to have been served to her.
Yes. and based on the dates would depend on whether they go forward with it now.
Okay. Lady Justice, you have any input on this? What's your thoughts?
I do. I really don't agree with the way that the law is right now as far as things being too far back or expired or that shit pissed me off. Because somebody did that intentionally, like you said. And so people should be held accountable for these things, and that's why these things continue to happen. Because there's some glitch in the law or there's some red tape bureaucratic bullshit that somebody's done set back in a box. If that was somebody that was pissed to me, you know I'd be pissed off. Because if that had happened to my mom, yeah, that would have been a problem for me. Because that's the problem for me right now.
Right. And so because then you have to look at it where someone had to make that warrant, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're living or they're deceased. But if they're living and if their signature is on it, I would have to go talk to those people, right?
Period.
Wouldn't you think that that's how you investigate? You talk to the folks who were there at the time, and if they're still alive, you want to interrogate them, correct?
That's right.
Well,
and
it's like,
regardless of age, go ahead, Officer Crenshaw.
It's like Lady Justice said. You know, they put it on the desk of somebody. Somebody else put it on somebody else's desk, and it got shuffled around. That's why I was saying based on the date. If they found the warrant now, they can go get her, lock her up on the warrant, and then the warrant gets dismissed because of statute of limitations.
Okay. Let me ask you this question here. There's no statute of limitation on murder. If you are found not guilty by a jury of your peers, and of course they had a full jury of their peers because it was an all-white jury, at the time, and then they turn around and then they admit to doing, you know, the crime. All right, that's double jeopardy to try them again, which is wrong. Okay, but now let me ask you this. If I rob a bank and the statute of limitations is 7 years for you to try me for whatever crime outside of murder, so you tell me that if I rob a bank and I can stay gone for 8-9 years, I can't be tried for bank robbery?
The rich and wealthy do it all the time.
Well, what I'm talking about you and me. I'm not talking about the rich and wealthy. I know they do that every day. But you and me.
Right. Right. If they have a warrant for you and the statute of limitations has expired, you get pulled over and that warrant was never removed from the system, they will lock you up. And then when it goes in front of the judge,
okay,
it will get dismissed and get thrown out because the statute of limitations.
Okay, so this. So let's go by what the whole process is supposed to be. They found this warrant on this woman, which was hidden in a box. Shouldn't it go through the process? Okay, go to whoever, which I think that the district attorney said he's not going to charge her. Due to the fact of, I guess, her age, and it was so long ago. But see, to me, that's a poor-ass district attorney. He should at least let it go to a grand jury, right? And let them make a decision to go forward.
He should.
That's my opinion.
He should. But what they're going to end up doing is not prosecuting criminally and allow the civil court and sue them civilly.
Okay.
So they can go.
Which
after
that's probably
them.
The only.
She might not have money, but she's got family. She's got property. Whatever she's got, she's going to end up belonging to Emmett Till's family because they're going to sue them civilly. They already got statements from the two guys that said we did it. They got evidence showing that she lied. It's a civil case. It's cut and dry.
So when
that's
they lied, but didn't she also admit that she lied? Because I was reading that the other day,
and she was saying it wasn't her intent for him to be killed or for them to do anything for her. But for me, I think any woman who lies on a man should be punished for whatever sentence you were going to give him for if he was found guilty. You should give her half that sentence or something because you put a man's life in jeopardy. I believe this particular woman created that effect of making it possible for more women to come out and lie on men, and you just take their word for it, and either a man ends up dead or he ends up in jail for a long period of time because it's not a true statement. You know what I'm saying? So I think that there should be some – she should go to jail or – I don't – you know, she needs to pay for what she did.
The only thing they can do – the only thing they can do is increase the punitive part of it as far as instead of her being charged with false statements, they can look at it and say, well, she was a party to a crime.
Right.
So
she wasn't a party to a crime, she was a murder.
Right. But it's just like if
Well, murder is a crime. I mean, if you look at it in a realistic way, murder is a crime. I understand what you're saying, but right, she was a party. She did not physically take place in the murder, but she was party to a crime that had occurred. She knew damn well what had happened after the fact. When her husband and his brother were found not guilty, she knew that they killed him, but she did not take part in the murder of him. So go ahead, Officer Crenshaw.
Right. Well, the thing is, she should be charged with party to a crime for aggravated assault, if nothing else.
Right.
Because she knew they were going to beat him. She knew they were going to do harsh things to him. She supposedly said, I didn't want him killed, but you wanted the snot beat out of him. So, you know, least party to a crime.
Well, so remember the young man who played Romeo on the Steve Harvey show? And he was later murdered because the young lady said that he did something he did not do?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She went to jail. And so did the two people who actually pulled the trigger. They went to jail too. So like I said, she should go to jail. Just like they put that young girl in jail for she didn't pull the trigger, but she opened her mouth and said that he did something he didn't do. So the same applies for her. I don't care if she's 100, send a little behind the jail.
That's right.
I agree. But it's all going to depend on the initial charges that they put on her. Now, if the county was charging her with something, and they dropped the ball because they went with lower charges, the state has the ability to take it and pick it up over and go higher. So does federal. Federal can actually step in and charge her, even though the state doesn't want to. Federal can step in and pick up that warrant and still lock her up.
Well, that's why the system is messed up, because it's okay for this person to get away with it, even though it's the exact same type of situation. You got this situation over here with this, we'll give her a slap on the wrist. We'll let her slide because she's not black. But these people over here, we're going to send them to jail. What are we going to do?
And see, that's a good argument for her attorneys to make as far as what's already happened to one person being locked up should happen to her. But if the state attorney is saying, the state prosecutor is saying, I'm not going to touch it, then they take it on up the ladder to federal and push the issue of double jeopardy. You know, you play one side. She got locked up.
Well, here's
the
thing I want to interject and say this, because when I looked at this whole thing, I'm still looking at it, and this is something that's going to go on. I commend the family for, after all these years, they're still looking for some form of justice. Now, already, I've already talked to somebody. They're a friend of mine. And I mean, I'm a friend of theirs, but we do go, you know, we butt heads about these cases. And they're like, well, look at O.J. Simpson. You know, he got off of murder. I said, right, he was acquitted for the murder. Well, these guys were acquitted. I said, yeah, but these guys said that they did it and did a story in Life magazine. Well, O.J. wrote a book, said, it had I done it. I said, you got a point. You know, it was going tit for tat. But if you look at it, O.J. slipped up and did what? He went and robbed somebody. O.J. had to go to court for civil trial. He paid more money than what the state of California demanded you pay for a civil trial than anything in the past. I think, what was it, 33 something, whatever. But he wound up going to jail anyway. He's out now, but he wound up going to jail anyway. The point of the matter is that where still you should be punished for your involvement. And so, that's the whole thing. I'm not saying that this woman at 88 years old should spend the rest of her life in prison because of the fact that she I don't think she should spend the rest of her life in prison. I think that she should get a charge like involuntary manslaughter. Officer Crenshaw, wouldn't you agree with that? Because involuntary is that she didn't volunteer to do it. It's not malice murder. It was not first degree. It's involuntary. Wouldn't you say that would fall under that? Or yes, better yet, maybe something like not involuntary manslaughter, but, well, she can't even be put into conspiracy because she didn't plan the killing of him. But at least involuntary.
You got to look at how they write the laws, the wording of murder, the wordings of involuntary manslaughter. You know, the way they write the wordings of it, you know, it's like involuntary manslaughter means you killed somebody even though that wasn't your intention to kill them. She didn't actually kill him. She just made statements that got him killed.
That she knew would get him hurt, but she knew that that's what's going to be the end result. My thing is, to me, it's no different than hiring somebody for murder.
That's right.
You said something that you knew would get your family riled up enough, because back in those days, that's what they did. They killed and lynched black people. So you knew that by saying that's a murder for hire. That's a murder for hire. For hire right there. You hired them indirectly to kill this young boy.
January 6th. If me and you jump in the car and we go to the liquor store and you decide you're going to run out with a six-pack and the dude behind the counter comes out chasing you and you turn around and shoot him, you know, I'm charged with a party to a crime for driving, even though I didn't know you would shoot and kill somebody.
Right.
So
that's
she should be charged with party to a crime, which would be murder. Her sentence won't be as great as their sentence, but it would still reflect the homicide that took place.
Right. What did you say, Elka?
This is the same thing that Trump just did, January 6th, when he hyped up all those people.
Yeah.
And they did all stuff down there. This is the same thing.
Yes,
yep.
He knew what they was going to do. He knew exactly what was going to happen.
You did that intentionally. You said those words that you knew, strike the fuse with people and get them all riled up.
That's right.
It didn't take much, but you
That's
did
absolutely
it.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that another scenario is, I know of an incident where some people got together and they collaborated this thing that they needed to happen. They went to Omaha and a drug deal gone bad, killed the informant. Everybody went to jail except for the informant. Everybody got life plus 50 years, and only one person pulled the gun. Only one person shot him, but they got life plus 50. They're black. What are we doing?
Because they got together beforehand and conspired to go do that. So that's why they all got charged that way.
Except for the person
now,
that orchestrated.
This young lady, what's this young lady's name? Nancy something? If she had gotten with these white guys before she told a lie and said, I'm going to accuse a black guy of doing this, and this is what y'all need to do, then she would be charged with the same thing they would have been charged with. Because they got together beforehand.
And she just came in the middle.
Right. She ran out, oh, and they reacted. And then she ran with it. But as still party to a crime.
Right. I said the same thing in this instance when this young man that set it all up walked free. How do you walk free when everybody else got life plus 50? You set it up.
Okay, so let me intervene here and give you guys a little bit more on this so that we cover everything regarding the story. According to the Till family, it says an arrest warrant for Carolyn Bryant Doham dated August 29th, 1955. So that's the date that that arrest warrant was written, was found last month in the basement of a Mississippi courthouse. There's a location, and was has renewed calls for authorities to take action on the decades-old case. Quote, we considered it to be somewhat miraculous, said Jerubu Hill, who represents the family of Emmett Till. Quote, all of the officials had been telling us that if there was a warrant, they didn't know if its presence, of its presence existence. That's what they were told. But now they found it. In 1955, then the 14-year-old Till was visiting, which that's a whole story. I'm not going to go into it. We all know it, the whole story. But it says that Till was abducted, tortured, and killed by Doham, then husband Roy Bryant, and his half-brother, J.W. Millam. Both men were tried for Till's murder and then acquitted by an all-white jury. A few months later, both men admitted in a magazine interview to murdering Till, and nearly 50 years later, Doham told a historian that Till had never touched her.
Mm-hmm.
50 years
later.
Well,
yeah,
we would
the,
like
the
to see the warrant, sir, because it has not expired. I just want to follow this out. It says, quote, we would like to see the warrant served. That's what I said at first. She never got it. It was written. Now we'll see what happens here, but let me just read this part, and then I want you guys to tell me what you think. Here's a quote. We would like to see the warrant served because it has not expired. We want to see that warrant served on Carolyn Bryant, Hill said. Quote, we also want her culpability to be the subject of an actual grand jury hearing, specifically addressing her culpability, she said. We believe through addressing her culpability that at the very least there will be a full-fledged investigation. What we hope is that there will be an indictment. What we hope is that there will be a trial where she is charged with a kidnapping that led to murder, and she is probably kidnapping that led to murder, and she is, that don't make any sense, probably before the court. Questions remain about why it took so long to find the documents themselves and how they even physically existed all these years. But Hill does not think the delayed discovery of these documents is a coincidence. There was, and there still exists today, the white pedestal theory, where white women are above reproach. Okay.
Yeah.
From what you just read to where they said that the warrant has not expired, it sounds to me
right.
like she's being with party to a crime to commit kidnapping. And if
right.
that's the
I
case,
mean, I'm sure.
Not
right.
murder,
mm-hmm.
not party to a crime to commit murder, but party to a crime to commit kidnapping. And if that's the case, she needs to be served and put in front of a grand jury.
Right.
That's my point. That is my point, is that where if there is not a statute of limitation on a kidnapping warrant, I know there's not a statute of limitation on murder. Murder is murder. You can't just wait 7 years and be like, okay, I'm clear. There's a warrant out for you, but if there's a warrant out for you based on kidnapping, it shouldn't be where you just walk away clear 7 years later.
Well, that's the thing. You got
and even at 88 years, even at 88 years old, you should still
right.
be served that warrant. Hell,
right.
a bill collector ain't gonna stop. Look, I'm just gonna say this: bill collectors are not gonna stop sending you shit in the mail, and ain't gonna stop calling you on the damn phone. Right?
Nope.
And
no.
If
and
you
thing, not at
okay,
she still should be served, locked up for the warrant. Whether they dismiss it based on statute of limitations or not, that would be what the statute of limitations are for kidnapping. I don't know what that is. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But if there is none, then that should go to trial in front of a grand jury.
But you being a 20-year veteran, you know, I had a warrant out. I'm no, you know, spring chicken. I used to fuck up, too. Hell, I got off work and came home, and next thing I know, here come a sheriff knocking on my door. And like, is this you? And he showed me a car. I said, yeah. He said, well, we got a warrant. I said, for what? Failure to appear. I'm like, really? I'm about
right.
to eat dinner. And I talked to my lawyer, and I was like, no, this was supposed to been extended. He said, well, let me check again. And he got on this. And his name was Sheriff Jones here in Cobb County. And he said, no, it's still active. And I said, well, damn. He said, were you about to eat dinner? I said, yeah. I said, well, go ahead and eat. He sat there at the table with me. And I said, can I call my lawyer back? This is a true story. And I called. Of course, my lawyer, I had two numbers. He didn't answer, but I left him a message. But the next day, shit, got in touch with my lawyer. I was out. But that was my lawyer's fault. But the point is that where they still served a warrant, even
right.
though my lawyer didn't do his job to extend it, they still had a job to do was serve the warrant. And it doesn't
right.
matter. Obviously, there was nothing in their system. When we're talking about 1955, they say, oh, well, you know, we don't need to talk to her anymore. There's no documentation. Only thing that still shows is that she had a warrant. So, like you just said, and like I said in the beginning, that warrant should still be served to her. She should still go to jail, go through the process, bail out, which I'm pretty sure she can within an hour or two, and then send it over to the grand jury to decide if they want to go forward. That is supposed to be our judicial system. Am I right or wrong?
You're right, and that should happen. That should happen. She should be served, locked up, and then the process goes from there if it's still an active warrant. And since it was found in the basement, it was never served, and it was never pulled off the system to be deactivated.
Thank you.
And if it was me and I was part of the family, I'd be trying to find out who all those people were that were involved with it.
And they
That's
will.
What I just said earlier. I said the same thing. If you heard me earlier, I said whoever's signature is on that warrant, I will start with them first. Someone has to sign that signature. If they're still living, I will be at their front door, and I'll be like, well, let's go downtown. Just like you see on 48, you know, first 48 and everything, let's go downtown and have a talk, you know.
That's right.
Let's have a talk.
Period.
I take them through the same process. And ask
all
them,
the way to
do
the
you remember back in 1955? I'm sorry.
Well, Mike, in 1990, if we can serve it in a graveyard, they can do it for somebody who's still alive from 1955 or 58. Because I had to walk the graveyard looking for a grave with a warrant one day. So they can
really?
Still do it. Yes, I had to. I went to the house. The lady said, "Oh, he died. He's buried out in the cemetery over
he's
here."
Deceased.
They did right. They didn't have a death certificate, but the lady walked me out there and showed me the tombstone. So
wow.
I wrote on the bottom warrant, subject is deceased, buried in the. And I put the address of the cemetery on there, and sent it back through the system so they could deactivate.
Wow.
And
I have never heard
just,
no shit like that in my life. I've never heard that before in my life.
The warrant division don't clear the warrants off the system. You can get locked up 2 and 3 times for the same warrant if it don't get cleared off the system.
Yep. But what's
that
the process for the box? Like, was it just a box that you could put paperwork in? Did somebody have, was it evidence? Did somebody else have to sign to even open the box? I'd be all in that.
Well, you know, we're going to not, I mean, well, I'll say this. I mean, we're almost at the top of the hour, and we do have to go into our second hour of the show with our special guest, Bombay J. But, you know, fortunately, I have extended time, but we did schedule Jay to come on at the top of the hour. We can go back into it, and we're not going to just end this conversation this Saturday. We're going to keep investigating and looking into this story. You know, I've always said that here, you know, when we hear about shootings and murders and questionable situations, I don't leave it at that. I constantly keep, you know, looking into these crimes and everything. And, you know, sometimes we don't hear about the court cases, and these cases might not go to court until a year later. Thank God, you know, we've been doing this over 7 years. And by the way, congratulations to Real and Raw. They've been on the J. King Network. Today was their 7th year anniversary. And so we've been doing this for a while. And I've always promised that these type of stories that we discuss and these topics and conversations, we're not going to lose track of them. We're going to always check into them, no matter how long it takes for the case to come to court. As long as we're on the air, we're going to always go back and look into it. But next week we will follow up on this and find out more of how the box was discovered. The information is out there, to be honest. You don't have to wait to hear from us. You can just go and look at it, how the family found it, the location of the courthouse, all that is available. And there is actually a video I saw, and that's how come I brought this up, because statute of limitation on murder, but statute of limitation on conspiracy of murder, or just being, you know, a party of the crime? And does it matter how old you are? Obviously, it don't in many cases, but you all know. Look at Bill Cosby. You know, that man, what? Shit, he's still going through the shit, and he's out of jail. And he got to pay off folks just to get it out of his damn. I don't know. I'm not taking Bill's side on this last one, where he had to pay this woman this amount of money. You know, he don't want to go through the whole legal process again. You know, sometimes even though you're innocent, the best thing to do is go ahead and just pay him off a few thousand dollars instead of spend millions in court costs.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah.
Sometimes,
that
and some folks, they, right, and see, and some folks may think that, oh, well, you must be guilty because you paying them. It's not necessarily the case. It's cheaper just to let it go away than, you know, tie up your time and paying folks to try to prove your innocence when some folks just want some money. They don't want justice.
They just
want money. Okay.
But even with that, I think that there should be a statute of limitation on that, because the fact that some of these things happened 20-plus years ago and there was no you didn't report it to the police, or you didn't – you said, okay, I'm going to just let this happen to somebody else. He did it to me, allegedly. He did it to me,
And I'm just going to not say nothing. So then he can go on to do it to somebody else and do it to somebody else and do it to somebody else and do it to somebody else. For me personally, a lot of women get hit on. We all get hit on in a manner that we don't like sexual harassment, period. But at some point there should be, if you didn't report that crime or that situation within a year, then you don't get to speak on it after that. And that person should not have to be brought up on charges because your behind was too lazy, because in some of those cases they were hoping that Bill Cosby was going to get them some type of role in a movie or, you know, certain little things like that. And in one of those cases, I think that one of the women went to his house without her mother. She went without an agent. You went to be alone with him knowing that that is a man first, period.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, you can say the same thing with you can say the same thing with Mike Tyson, the woman who went to the hotel room and everything. All those scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely.
To me, it's questionable, you know. I mean, come on now. You don't go to a man's hotel room at 2:30 in the morning and don't realize it's a booty call. It's a booty call. Come on.
And we some real women on here. That's a booty call.
Yeah. And because but this is the thing. A lot of women, and I know you have to move on, but a lot of women, when they don't get their way, that's what they resort to. Because the first thing that happens is you believe the woman without checking out, did this really take place? So he's already getting the stain on him without there being any real information or real evidence to show that that's what happened. But now it's too late because you can't take it back that you just called this man a rapist.
That's right.
That's very true. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have to move on. It is now 7:02, and our guest has arrived. I see them on the board, so I'm going to ask them to hit the number one on their phone to open up their mic themselves, and then I'll see. Well, better yet, I'll see that they're waving their hands. So, go ahead, guest. Hit the number one on your phone, and then what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick music break. Well, actually, not really a total music break. We're just going to do this. Hey, after our guest, we're going to play a little trivia game, and I want to see how well you guys know your TV themes, okay? All right. I'm going to give you a little sample of it. All right, there's a sample of one major TV theme. I know you're probably like, what the hell did he just play? I know you probably say, what the hell did he just play? Trust me, there's going to be plenty more you guys are going to trip off of, because I'm going to give you a little history about a lot of them. Okay, so without further ado, this gentleman was brought to my attention by a co-host here on the TMGS and also host of a new show here on the TMGN called Let's Talk About It. Miss Cotton Campbell has brought to my attention this gentleman, and he goes by the name of Bombay J. And when I listened, well, first of all, I saw his video. When I listened to his music, I was like, okay, this brother's pretty interesting. And read his bio, and I was like, okay, this brother's very interesting. So it's really a pleasure to have him on the show. I see he's on the board. I guess he didn't hit the number one, so I'm going to, Bombay, go ahead and hit your number one on your phone. Jay, you there? Hold on a minute, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make sure we got the connection correct. And I'm looking at the right number, I think. Hold on a minute. Let me scroll up. Well, I thought that was his number there. 1560. Okay, there he is. All right. I'm going to open up his mic, but before I do so, you guys, do me a favor. Put your hands together, and welcome to the show, Bombay J.
Hey, what's up? Hey. All right, Pat. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Happy Saturday. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's good to be on the show. Hey, Cotton.
Hey.
How y'all feeling this morning? Hello?
Don't everybody speak at once. Yes. He said, how's everybody feeling this evening?
We are all good.
I know, you know, it's kind of crazy because everybody's waiting for someone else to say something, so I'll just go ahead and I'll just give everybody name tags. Cotton, how are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing fabulous, you know. Hey, Bombay, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's definitely a pleasure. It's definitely a pleasure.
All right, and then, of course, Lady Justice.
Hey, Bombay, I am doing awesome. Good to have you on.
That is great. That is
all
great
right,
to hear.
Right.
I'm happy to hear it. Yeah, Lady Justice.
And then I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Mr. Officer Crenshaw.
Hey there, Mr. Bombay. Hey. I'm doing
Hey,
wonderful.
How you doing, sir?
I'm great.
That's
great.
Good.
Now, Bombay, I don't know if you heard what we were talking about, but, you know, that's what we do. We have certain conversations and topics that we get into. They're kind of deep, pretty deep and everything. But we love when a person like yourself comes in so we can kind of, like, chill out and listen to some good music, man, you know, and learn about new artists. And you know, we have to be aware of what's going on in our surroundings more so than what's happening in politics, what's happening in crime, but also what's happening in the music. And like I said, Cotton brought you to my attention. I was like, I saw your video. I'm like, whoa, this brother here, I got to tell you straight out, you got some good pipes, man. I love your voice. Very good.
Man, thank you so much.
Before we get into your music and everything, give us a little background about who Bombay J is, where you're from, and who were your, you know, who was your inspirations to get into this industry?
Well, let's start off where I'm from. I'm born and raised in Kansas City. Been here my whole life. Yes, sir. And I've been doing music for a long time, as long as I can remember, since I was a kid. My inspirations were like Dave Hollister, Brian McKnight, and I also had a boy group that I grew up listening to called So For Real, and they were like around my age, me and my brother's age, and we tried to mimic them and everything like that, and try to dance like them, and that's basically my niche that I thought, you know, I thought that was my thing, you know, and I got confirmation from my grandpa when he said, "Boy, you sound like an angel." I was like, that's a good thing, because my papa, he was strict. He was a Navy man. His name was Harvey Jacobs. Man, he was a Navy man. And he was real strict. You know, it was hard to impress him, for sure.
I like the fact you said Dave Hollister, because I don't know Dave personally, but I know some folks who do know him. And, of course, he still does some great stuff. And since you said that, you kind of remind me of him in stature and in style. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect, but you really do. I'm like, wow, this brother, you know. And I saw the video where, you know what I'm saying? I watched the video, and I'm looking at the fans are really connecting with you. You know what I'm saying? And it was just great to see. When you said So For Real, I was like, okay, now you're going way back.
Yeah.
Candy Rain.
Yeah, that's really
Candy
what
Rain.
Ice me to really do it. Yeah, Candy Rain. Yep.
Wow.
You already know.
And
that
I
was
still hear
it
that.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. And I still hear it in stores.
A little bit of that one with Heavy D, that every little thing I do.
Oh, yeah.
You remember
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that feature with Heavy D. Yeah.
Every little thing I do, you're on my mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The real
okay.
Girl, baby, is serving.
Yeah, that's that thing.
Okay, bro.
Yes,
okay.
So you, and if you don't mind, I mean, it's disrespectful to ask a woman how old she is, but not for a man. How old are you, my brother?
I'm 36.
Oh wow, okay. So you came up right when you came up right when those artists were like really smashing the charts.
Yes, sir. For sure.
Wow.
I was around, man, when they were icons, you know.
Mhm.
Sex symbols when So For Real was fresh and new, and I was just starstruck by them. You know, just the way they move, the way they sound, the harmonies and everything. I started to pick up on a lot of the things that they were doing and into, you know, and trying to mimic it for myself. And then to hear like Dave Hollister and Brian McKnight come out with their albums and everything. It was a lot of inspirations that really hit home for me that made me want to pursue it. You know, it probably just wasn't one main person, you know. It was just a whole plethora of them, you know.
Wow. Well,
real
Janet, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Real vocalist. Cotton, I know you have some questions. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Of course I do. So what I wanted to ask is, when you initially saw yourself, when did you decide, okay, I want to be a singer. I want to make this my career. I want to make a difference in the love life of so many different people. When did you make that decision? How old were you, and what was the deciding factor?
Well, I got to say, once I won my first talent show, and that was at the Paseo Apollo, that was back in the day when it was at the Scottish Rite Temple, and I got all them great remarks, and everybody was rooting for me and chanting my name. I just like, man, I made a difference, you know, and everybody loved me. They said they loved me. Got so many compliments. It just made me want to just keep going, keep pursuing. And plus, my grandpa, when he said, son, he said, don't stop. Whatever you do, don't you stop doing what you're doing, because what you're doing is good. He said it's great. And I listened to him, and I stuck by that. Yeah, it was my grandpa, man.
So I heard that tonight that you're performing with this really major, major bar. You want to tell us about that?
Oh yeah, I'm performing tonight with Michelet, and we're gonna be at the American over on the Crown Center over on Pershing, and that starts at 7. So I'm actually headed there now. To get ready. House, they had sound check and everything today, and I'm just on the way. I'm prepping myself right now, but, you know, I get to do this wonderful show, and I'm loving it.
Who else have you got the pleasure of hitting the stage with besides Mr. Light?
Also, I'm going to be hitting the stage with an artist that's just now hitting the scene. Her name is Lexi. She's pretty talented too, and she's the other one that's going to be hitting stage with me.
Nice. So, do you have an album that's coming out, or do you just have the singles that we've heard thus far?
Over this past summer, I dropped the EP called Bad, and right now I'm in the process of working on a new album. Haven't came up with the name just quite yet for it, but it's still in the works. But you can find my EP on all digital platforms. It's called Bombay J. Bad.
Now, where did you come up with that name?
What'd you say?
I said, how did you come up with that name?
Well, I mean, it was on the song, you know, the song bad. It originated from a song called Toxic. And me and my wife, we were writing one day, and my wife actually wrote out the concept on Toxic. And she wrote the hook for me, and it was like, it just said bad, bad. So what we ended up doing, we had to scratch the initial beat, which was on which was a YouTube beat, and we had to have one made. And it's like that hook, it just stood out, and everybody, I was getting great feedback on it. And everything, and I just decided to call the album Bad, because it was the one that was just ringing the bells. It was the one that was catching the audience and engaging. It was a song that I felt great about.
Well, I'm glad you clarified that, but that wasn't what I was asking. Let me clarify. How did you come up with the name Bombay J?
All right, so Bombay J. the first thing is Bombay. 1986 is the year that Bombay was created, the actual liquor, right? So 1986, I was born, right? So I'm like, that's one gear right there. That just boosted it up a notch. And then the next thing, I looked up the meaning, and it means surpassing all grips of reality. Now, what I wanted to do is surpass all grips of reality. I want to give people not just a show, but an experience. I want people to be able to laugh, to love, smile. I don't want to make nobody cry, but if the song says that or reaches out for that, and that happens, then, you know, I've done my job. But what I aim to do is I aim to please, and I aim to give people a great feeling.
That's interesting. I like that. That's very interesting. What I really want to do right now is pull up some of this bad music that you got, because it is good music. I love it, and I mean bad in a good way. Just to give you guys a little warning, there's a few songs that have a little, you know, warning to them. But I'm not going to say it right now, but there's of the three, there's one, man, I'm going to tell you. I played it over and over again with the iPods, okay? The AirPods in it. I was like, okay, this should be a hit. You know, good music. But this one here hit me because I love the instrumentation that you used and how you did it. But I'm not going to play it yet. I want to save that one. I'm going to build it up to the one I'm talking about, okay? Is that all right with you? But
that's great.
The first cut I want to do is the one that we were just talking about, is that. Give us a little story, you just did, about it, but let's get into it right now. Hey, you're listening to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. Today, our guest is Bombay J, and here he is with Bad. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, babe?
Oh, hey, babe. You here early?
Yeah, just got in. Hey, so check this out. Me and my friends, we about to go and get some drink. Cool.
Babe, I thought we were supposed to be watching a movie.
Look, we can, but when I get back, trust me.
Dealing with this shit for way too long. each other, we so tough. Baby, baby, so bad, bad for each other, we so tough. Bad, bad for each other, we so tough. Bad, bad for each other, we so tough.
PMGS, you're listening to the Michael Gay Show for our special guest, Bombay J, reopening up the mics. Yeah, man, that that's smooth. I enjoy that. You were saying that Michelle is going to be with you tonight. I mean,
yes, sir.
You know, when you have someone like a Michelle now, you know, and you're performing together, have you two met before, or is it something that the first time you guys are working together? Or have you worked together before? So have you met her before?
No, sir. I have not.
Oh, so this is a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. It's a treat.
Right. Exactly. A treat. If I'm not mistaken, I think Michelle and Cotton, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Michelle and Karen White and a few other artists were together just recently, I think, in Florida. Last weekend, I think it was?
Right.
Bam. Yeah, they were all together. Right. Okay, so, brother, you have a chance to say, oh, yeah, understand you threw down in Florida. And she's going to look at you like, how do you know about that?
Right.
Just give me
throwing around facts on her.
Yeah, you know, heard about her. You were there with Karen White and a few other ladies, you know, it was a ladies' thing. She's going to look at you like, oh, okay.
He's been doing his homework, right?
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for the game. I appreciate that. Thanks for the game.
Oh, you know, we always look out for folks. We always do. You mentioned this group and everything, and I just got to play just a little clip of their stuff real quick for you.
Oh my God.
So that's a memory there.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Hey, you, hey, I was here just breaking it down. Busting
that's
that up
a memory there.
That thing come on. Yes. Man, it sends you back down memory lane, man. When we was down in the basement with both of my brothers, and we was trying to be a group, and my grandpa, my grandma, my grandpa would be like, go ahead and dance, go ahead and dance, and we'll just be breaking it down for them, and then they'll invite other people to come by and see us, like they friends and everything, on Pocino night.
So you guys were the entertainment.
So it was game night, but you guys were the entertainment, right? You guys were
exactly.
The halftime show.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
That's
yeah.
Wow.
And then
my grandma
friend come by.
If your parents thought you had any kind of talent, if you could whistle Dixie, you was going to be the entertainment at their card party.
Absolutely. Man,
so
I mean, and they were just pinch of cheeks and both set of cheeks.
Wow. When you, okay, so you have your, and definitely I want you to share with everybody how to, because, see, unfortunately, here on Blog Talk, you really don't get the quality of the music listening to it through this broadcast, okay? So you guys definitely, I'd like for him to share his contact information where you can actually get the music, purchase, you know, the music, download, whatever the case may be, but you have to hear in good quality. I've had the pleasure of hearing it. It is much better than what you hear in here, trust me. The instrumentation and the arrangements are great. And I'm going to get into that more into when I get into the song. I told you I really, really, really like, you know, I like all three of them. But this one, I was like, okay, I had to play it over and over again. I said, okay, this brother knows how to arrange some stuff. But now the song called The Way We Plan. Give us a little story about this song before we get into it.
The Way We Plan It? Well basically, with that song, is just everyday life, just life experience, and just knowing that each moment is a gift, and that you don't take none of it for granted. You know, things don't always go the way they plan it. You know what I'm saying? No matter how well thought out and how well planned everything may seem, things just don't always go according to. And people gotta realize, you know what I'm saying, that. I just know that God laughs at us when we say that, hey, well, we're about to plan this and we're going to plan to do this. But ultimately, he has another agenda for us. He has another agenda for everybody else. And we just, that's what the whole process of coming up with that song was about. It's just man, I'm going to go ahead and let you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you love to do. And I'm going to back you 100%. Because things don't always go the way planned. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's have dinner. Let's don't take this time that we got for granted. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, on the fly.
All right.
Be spontaneous sometimes.
That's very true. I feel you on it, because every week I plan this show and it doesn't always go the way I planned it, but God does step in and make sure it happens. I've had some bad experiences, but you know it follows up with some good ones. So hey, and by the way, anyone that that is on the phone line, if you have any noise in the background, please put yourself on mute unless you're talking, just for the quality of the show, for our replay, which is also available. Of course, it's available on Spotify, on Lexus, on just every platform. All right, so without further ado, you guys, check this out. This is Bombay J with The Way We Planned It.
babe. Outside of jurisdiction, there's just so much that get taken for granted. Tell me how we don't understand it. What's got us all it seems to understand it? I guess that we can only try, but baby, please note that things don't always go the way we plan it. Yeah, yeah, gonna do a little dancing. That's it. Let me ease some of my stress.
TMGS. That's Bombay J with The Way We Planned It. Yeah, man, I love that groove. That is really nice. Really, really nice.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I we've been fortunate to have some fantastic guests in the music industry here. Karen White, again, I'll say, if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute. Hit the number one on your phone. Thank you. Mr. Reggie Calloway, just a host of others. And I always ask this question. See, now someone's going to make me have to hunt them down and mute them. So what comes first for you? Of course, we're hearing your awesome vocals. Are you are you writing the music, or are you working with other producers who bring you music? And what comes first for you, though? Is it the music, and then you come up with the lyrics, or is it the other way around, or is it a combination of both?
Okay, so I do write most of my music, but I also have the pleasure of having my wife write with me as well. She wrote a lot of my songs. Yeah, she wrote a lot of my songs, and we both teamed up on a couple of things, and it's magic. I'm just letting you know, we it's a great it's a great thing. And the process, what we do, we just find us a beat. We'll just get ourselves settled in at night. We'll pop on a beat. We'll probably get us some wine or something, and we'll sit back. We'll just vibe to a beat. And we'll try to find different subjects to touch on. And we'll just go from there. We'll come up with a topic, and we'll just start writing on it.
Okay, well, not to put out too much of her of information, but is there a name that we can call her since she's a co-writer on
a lot of this or a few of these tracks?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying it. Well, I'm going through the board to find out who is talking and who has their mic open, so I'm going to have to mute everybody but you. And maybe that might narrow it down. Okay. No, I was asking, can we not necessarily say her name, but does she have a writing name or writer's name? You know, some folks do have that. Excuse me, that.
No, she don't have a writer's name. Her name is Cece.
Cece. Okay, good. Well,
yes.
Much love to Cece. You know, and it's very rare that you hear of a husband and writing team. The first one that comes to mind for me is really Ashford and Simpson, though they wrote together for years before they got married. But wow, that's very rare of a writing team. Okay. Wow, interesting.
Yeah,
let me go around the board.
It's definitely a blessing.
Amen. Let me go around the board and see if anyone else has any questions or comments. I'm going to go ahead and go to, this lady here, I love her dearly, and she's on, let's see if she's there. Oh, okay. Thank you, mic is open. Lady Justice, are you there?
I am here.
Lady Justice? Okay, you have any questions or comments for our guest, Bombay J?
Well, after listening to him, that's a hard act to follow. But my comment would be the thing that just attracted me to this whole package is the fact that he works with a wife. That's rare. And
oh, wait. You said what? He does what, man?
The fact that
he
works alongside his wife when they're writing music.
I'll be down.
Okay. Interesting.
That's clear. These days it's hard to get husband and wife to sit in the same room. The fact that you guys are coming together and doing something.
Okay. Well, Jay, I'm getting that background from your end. But I understand you're in transit and you're getting everything together. So I understand. Let me see if Officer Crenshaw has any questions or comments on the music from Bombay Jay. Crenshaw, the mic is yours.
Yes, I do. I know he said he was 36, but he's an OG. I can hear it in his voice and in his heart. With his music, he's an OG. That music, his whole that first song, I thought he was getting ready to do some group to where you know they come out talking. My name is Charles, and ladies, this is what I want you to do. I thought he was getting ready to
like
do
the Floaters,
that.
Right?
Yeah, the Floaters. I thought. It just took me back, and it made me close my eyes and think, and then I listened to it, and then the second song kind of touched me like, you know, damn, in his heart and in his soul, he's an OG. He's 36, but he's an OG.
That's a good point, but you want to elaborate on that, Bombay J?
I just wanted to say I appreciate the compliment. That's definitely a compliment when somebody can see the light and the wisdom in you. You know, that's definitely a compliment, and I just want to say I appreciate that. Second of all, that's just common sense to work for the wife, right?
Right.
I'm just
I'm telling you, at the end of the day, she holds the power.
Yeah.
But what I want to say is that I was brought up around a great environment. You know, my grandparents, my grandma, definitely kept her foot in my behind. You know, and made sure that I did right and that I listened to him. My grandpa, you know, he was strict. Like I said, he was a military man. So, you know, so he expected nothing but great things from me. And I sat there and I listened to him many nights telling me what I did wrong and what I should do to make it up and what I could do to make things right and be right. And, you know, so I owe a lot of it to them, you know, to being raised by my grandparents, you know. I was just glad, you know what I'm saying, that they cared enough to hold on to me and my brothers, you know, and just raise us.
Right.
And that's why I'm here today, you know what I'm saying, also because of my choices, you know what I'm saying, that I chose to make, because everybody has a choice, you know what I'm saying, you either go down this road or you go down that road, and one could be the right road, one could be the wrong road, you know, just it's choices. Everybody, you could choose to rob the convenience store if you want to, but you could also choose not to, you know what I'm saying, and go get a job, you know what I'm saying, and work for what you want and what you believe in, and that's just my beliefs.
That is truly a blessing, because I like that you mentioned your grandparents and everything. And quickly, I want to say, for you folks that are popping up on the phone line, if you have a question or comment for our guest, Bombay J, hit the number one on your phone. We will open up your mic and allow you to pose your question or comment. I see a few numbers, 832-816. So hit the number one on your phone now while we have the time. We're not going to hold him up too much longer. We're going to probably have him for another 10 minutes or so to do so. But I like what Officer Crenshaw that you being an OG, because your style and your vocal and what you shared earlier about like David Hollister and then you shared about the other artists, which those were artists of the late 80s and 90s in a sense, but your style is great. Your music is R&B. It's real R&B.
Yes.
When you listen to stuff now, and this is a question I want to ask you, when you listen to music now, what do you think about the music now? We already know where your heart is, but what is it about music now, and who is on your playlist? Who do you like to listen to? Obviously, the ones that you mentioned earlier, but who do you like to listen to when you're not listening to your own or recording or creating your own stuff?
That's a really good question. The artists of this time and era, you know, that I like to listen to, it'd be a lot of Usher, you know what I'm saying, because I feel like he's from our generation, and he is still relevant, still popping, still current. I also like to listen to some of the next generation, which is Chris Brown, you know. He's poppy. But he still got some of them classic cuts then that I just love to listen to, you know, and he still carries a classic sound. It don't always be real popish and everything like that. He has a few R&B cuts that I like to listen to, and I like to listen to Mario. Mario is very underrated, underlooked. I listen to Tank. I listen to Ginuwine. The list can't go on. I mean, it's very few, but the top is like just Tank, Usher, a little bit of Ginuwine, you know, and the one that I believe that people kind of overlook is I listen to a lot of. I'm trying to think of his name. It's slipping my mind. I got a lot of things going on, bro. I can't remember the guy's name, man, because
can you give us a little hum of what song you're talking about? What song it comes to mind? You can't think of his name, but what song?
It's like, all right, so it's so nice to see you again. Stokely. That's his name. Stokely from Mint Condition.
Oh, Stokely?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Stoke.
Yeah, I know Stoke.
That is one of the coolest brothers you'll ever meet. And if you ever meet him, he's very deep.
I would love to meet him.
I'm just going to say briefly, many of the co-hosts already know. His wife and I, well, actually, she's younger than I am, but she was my neighbor. She grew up down the street from me, and I had Stokely on my show years ago before I even started doing this. It's a long story, but I had a live stream of him. But Stoke is one of the coolest cats you'll ever meet. But, I know. he's really deep, man. Very, very gifted. And not just as a vocalist, but a musician. That brother plays everything. Oh. I mean, hell,
everything.
He can play a damn triangle, and you would think of hell that he created it. But anyway, I mean, that's how bad he is. The brother's awesome.
Ooh, absolutely.
Awesome brother, Stokely Williams.
Yeah, but
you know, you have mentioned Soul Korea. Huh?
I said yeah.
I'm
but
sorry.
He's one of the brothers that's definitely overlooked. I'm sorry.
Well, no apology, but yeah, he's overlooked from people who know how good he is. You know what I mean? That's my prerogative. But they know how bad he is. You know, but the brother's still going. He's still out there. He's still doing some things, and people are definitely working with him. He's working with folks, and I'm hoping to get him to come back on because actually he was the first person I ever interviewed when I first started doing this. That's honestly past true. But let me go back to this here. I just want to do this real quick because, like I said, I don't want to hold just too long because you're getting ready for a performance. You got to save that voice and not talk so much. You know, I know most artists, you know, try to do that as much as possible. But back to when you mentioned certain songs and artists that you like, let me just give a little drop of another one. Well, it's the same group, but here's one of the songs that you mentioned real quick.
That brings me back. That takes me back right there, man. Wow.
Bruh, I know what you're talking about. And a lot of folks don't realize that background, or actually that sample, was from Gap Band's Outstanding. So just a little history there.
So
it all works together.
Charlie Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah,
Gap Band. The Wilson Brothers. But now, let's move on to this other track that I told you that I was going to save for last, and I really love it. Now, did the wife help you with this one here, which is one that is Something About You?
Something About You?
I love this cut. Yeah, I love this cut, man.
I think I wrote that. I wrote the whole thing.
Okay, you get the whole credit for it. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. All right.
that was a track I wrote.
Yeah, okay. I figured it should have been because I would believe that you wrote it about her. But, man, I love this here. How did it come to your mind to write this, if you don't mind me asking?
It's just being in love with my wife and just loving her, man. For real, it was just one of the things that was just in my heart. You know, I love to make people feel good. And she makes me feel good. You know, we have great times. We have bad times too, but the great ones always outweigh the bad. So, you know, and I just thought about the first time we met, you know, the feeling that she gave me, you know what I'm saying, when we met, when we talked, first date. You know, I just reminisce on all that, and I try to go based off of experiences. And sometimes I have to just go outside my box, things I haven't experienced, and I just write about it anyway, thinking that this is how it would go, you know. So. But mm-hmm. This song was definitely just based off of experience, just period.
All right. Hey, you guys, here's Bombay J with Something About You. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network, home of the Michael Gay Show. And let's talk about it. That's Bombay J with Something About You. Now, see, bro, that's why I said I love that track. That is awesome, man. I'm being honest. It's simple story, straight to the point. And unfortunately, through this media, you guys are not hearing the true quality of it. But I'm going to let Bombay J share how you can get this music, put on your headphones and check it out and hear the stuff you can't hear right now. Because it is, I mean, there's something in that song where you have this keyboard line that has this nice little flow, you know, way in the background. You know what I'm talking about. And I was like, man, that is so damn creative and so smooth. Jay, you there? I think we lost him. Maybe he calls back. Okay. Cotton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Did I lose? Oh, okay. I think we lost him. I think his call dropped. Let me see if he calls back in. That is a nice track there.
That was nice.
I love it. It is truly a nice track. Let's see if he can manage to call back in so he can share his contact information. And then again, he is preparing to go on stage tonight, but hopefully he'll come back in. Just right after, open up his mic. Yeah, because I did put everybody on mute while the track was playing. You know, that's just my norm now, to make sure it doesn't disrupt. Okay. What you think about the track, though, Officer Crenshaw? Crenshaw there?
It's smooth. Yeah, I'm here. It's smooth. I love it. It's soft. You know, in my old age, I want to hear soft and slow. You know, it makes me think about happiness.
Yeah, that's what I caught when I first heard it. And like I said, when you get it and you hear it in a good listening environment outside of, you know, just what we're hearing here, oh, man, you pick up on some stuff that you just don't hear, you know, in the platform that we're listening to, and you can appreciate it more. Cotton, see if you can text over, see if everything's okay on that end. If not, fine. But let's see if we can get him back on the air because the show's dropped. So we'll see what happens here. Let's see. Let me go to Lady J. What you think about the track?
I love that track. It made me have to take a seat. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, now this is music. Because when I was a little girl growing up, I was my dad's little DJ. He taught me how to count the beats to the songs and how to get ready to mix the records. Mm-hmm. So that just takes me all back into all that good, gushy stuff, you know, when people actually cared about each other.
Right, right. Oh, so you learned how to do beats per minute, huh?
Yes. So I think I was like 10, and he was like, maybe you need to make sure that you know how to put my music together at night. And I was thinking, what? What are you talking about? I'm too young. I can't go to the club. And he said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to count beats. And every record that he had in his collection had a beat count on the front with a little sticker that I had put on every one. And then he said, okay, when he got ready to do a party, he said, okay, go on in there and make me a playlist. Get me together.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you knew how to do beats per minute. That's interesting. You know, I used to be a DJ, so I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of folks don't know that, what beats per minute means. You know, but yeah, that's what makes the record blends. I was never the type of DJ that would do all the scratching type stuff, but I could play a song and you wouldn't even notice the next song that came in. You know how sometimes you hear, you know, when the next song is coming in, you know, and people start leaving the dance floor.
Yeah.
Right,
or
right. Yeah, but you had to have that beat per minute just right to where all of a sudden you're like, this is a whole damn different song. I didn't even notice it. You'd be seeing folks on the dance floor looking around like, and then they'd be like, well, hell, I guess I'll just stay out here. And they do.
Yeah.
But no, but I love that song right there. Something About You. That is Bombay J. Unfortunately, his call dropped. And, you know, hopefully he'll be able to call back in. If not, but we do appreciate him coming on during the time he has, because as he said, he's getting ready. He was in the middle of getting ready to perform tonight with Michelle, and wish we had more of that information to share. So if you live in the area and you have nothing better to do, you could go and check out a great show. I'm pretty sure it will be awesome.
Let's see. Moving forward. Cotton, are you back? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so I do. No, no, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you want to,
the mic is yours.
Follow, if you want to follow Bombay J, it's BOMAYJAY, or for all the social media platforms. He is performing tonight at the Mission Lane concert in Kansas City. Missouri, so if you are in the area, those that know, it's Saturday, one night only with Michelle. It's the artist they name, and you can get the tickets at eventbrite.com. It is a red carpet event, so make your way out there.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to make it back in, but we truly appreciate him spending the time that he has with us today and sharing his music and all the great things about his creative artistry and how he puts these all together. So we hope to have him come back on again. And I wasn't aware. I don't know if you were aware, Cotton, he was going to be performing tonight, but most, much blessings to him and hopefully a fantastic show. I'm pretty sure I know it's going to be a great show. And it's great to see artists out again. You know, it's great to see entertainers, especially new and upcoming entertainers, having a stage to go to, you know, after the pandemic thing. It's really great to see that and talking to them and having them share their music and seeing that they're able to show it to the world. So step by step. So blessings to our brother, Bombay J. All right, so let's look at this. And by the way, I want to let you guys know, just give you a reminder, coming up next month, August, it's going to be, let me take a look at my list here. Oh, Carl Thomas. We're going to set up a Saturday before he performs along with Karen White here at the ATL. August the 13th is the date of the concert. But Carl is going to be joining us here on the show before the show or before the concert. I haven't got the exact Saturday that he's going to be on, but make sure you go to TMGN on Facebook. That's where you can find our information on what's coming up on the show. You can find our page, and we'll keep you posted on all the guests that we have coming in the future. Also, not just on the Michael Gay Show, but also on the Let's Talk About It with Cotton Campbell and the ladies of TMGN. Cotton, what do you got coming up on the 23rd?
Yes.
Or the 26th? 23rd, okay.
Yes.
What's your topic for the 23rd when you guys do the next show?
For the next show, we're talking about road versus wave. And we're going to delve into some real deep. This conversation is going to be a little deeper than probably what they've actually been talking about. Everybody's talking about what's on the surface. We're going to go a little deeper on this particular topic. 23rd, road versus wave. I mean,
okay. Well, I'm gonna tune in that day. Because on your first show I didn't chime in. I really wanted to sit in the background, but I was busy, to be honest. But really got some great response of the first show, the flagship, you know, the very first show for Let's Talk About It. Great reviews. So looking forward to the next one. And yeah, it should be interesting. Officer Crenshaw even said it was great. He enjoyed it. So, you know, I'm going to take his word and everybody else's too. All right, so you guys, before we get out of here, we got a
Michael. Bombay J said that he's sorry he lost reception. He was trying to get back in, but I don't think he can at this point, right?
Probably. No, let's see. No, he should be able to.
because I did a no, I extended the show for another 30 minutes, but if he can call back in, that's fine. I'd like for him to share his contact information himself if possible. But if not, I understand that, you know, he's about to get on stage, so, it is what it is. So if he can, cool. If he can't, no problem. We'll have him back on again. Text him and let him know. All right.
Yeah. I just let him know because he's trying to get back in now.
Yeah. And if he can't get back on the board, just give him my direct number and I can go ahead and, see you guys don't know is that sometimes when we have a problem with Blog Talk, we find a way around that bullshit. Call me direct and then I will go ahead and link you through, guess what? Two way. All right. So anyway, if he can come back in, great. But if not, before we get out of here, I did say this last week, and I want to go ahead and make sure we do it this week. You know, we had a show where we talked about TV themes it wasn't TV themes. It was NFL shows and theme songs. And then I came across some theme songs that are historic, you know, for TV shows. And a lot of times we don't know who wrote some of them. Now, the ones I'm going to play, they're not all written by black individuals, but there are some. But for you guys that are probably in my age category, and for some of you that might be a little bit younger, you may remember these, but you may not. I want to see how many theme songs you remember, because I'm going to give you a little sample of some and see who knows their TV theme shows, all right? Now, this one here, this show, theme songs, three. I'm going to play all three, and I know you're going to guess the first one automatically. I should say the second one. I know you're going to recognize his voice. But can you tell me who did the very first and who did the last? All right? Now, you caught that, right? I'm going to play all three of the theme songs for this one show. I know you're going to know the second one. But can you tell me who did the first one and who did the last one? Here we go.
I know my parents love me. Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready. Because I finally heard them say it's a different world from where you come from.
Hold on a minute. I had to put that on pause because it looks like Bombay J is able to rejoin us. Let me go ahead and open up his mic. Is that you, Bombay J?
Michael.
I see. Okay, I'm here. Hello? Can
Michael.
You hear me?
Hey,
Michael.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I got Bombay J on right now. I just three-wayed him in.
Okay, so I'm looking at I thought this is his number here, but hey, man, I'm sorry that your number dropped. Welcome back.
That was definitely
but we're not gonna say he's wrong. Yeah, and I understand that. But before and I know that you have to get ready to perform, and we wish you all the blessings and everything for this night. It should be awesome.
Thank
but,
you.
Can you share all your contact information to everybody here on the TMGS?
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you can reach me. You can reach out to me on Facebook at Bombay J. And on my Instagram, it is Bombay J 39. And if you do have TikTok, you want to get reach me on TikTok, you could just follow me at Bombay J as well. On YouTube, you could find the video to Bad and other songs by typing in Bombay J bad, and they'll bring up my EP, they'll bring up the video to bad, and all that great stuff.
Sounds fantastic. All right, and, so you guys got the information. No, go ahead.
And also, if y'all wanted to check out some of my artwork that I do, you could go. It's on Instagram, and you can find that at the Bombay Collection.
Oh, you do artwork? Okay, we didn't know that, or I didn't. All right.
Yeah, I didn't either.
On Instagram. Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's another show.
Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll
I appreciate
talking with you. Okay. So Bombay, if you
thank
don't mind, I'm gonna get your information. Do you mind if I direct connect with you?
No, I do not mind.
Okay, fantastic. I will definitely be in touch with you because but when you mentioned your artwork, that really I love your music, of course, but I mean, it shows that you're multi-talented more than just music. You know what I'm saying? And that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And would love for you to come back. Hey, man, we're going to let you go. Get prepared for your night. Tell Michelle we said hello. God bless. And you all have a fantastic time. I know it's going to be awesome. For you folks in the vicinity, make sure you check it out. You ain't got nothing better to do. Okay, go and check out a great show, you know. Go to
yes, it's going to be
support.
A great one. It's going to be fun.
Right. Support,
hey, I appreciate you having
support
me
your artist. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Hello.
Have a
no.
Great show, Bombay J.
Hey, thanks, Cotton, and thank you for bringing me on. I appreciate everything, you guys. Talk
all
to you
right.
Other time.
Yeah. All right. God bless, my brother. Peace.
Yes, sir.
All right. We just had Bombay J, our special guest, and as he shared how to contact him and also, well, most importantly, how to get a hold of his great music. If you're tuning in late, well, I apologize. But the good thing about it is that you can always go back and hear all of the shows and all the conversations and interviews that we have with some of our most amazing guests here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. I was in the middle of doing something because we lost Bombay J, but he managed to come back on, share the information. So I'm going to go back to what I had planned on doing before we leave for the night. And what I want to do is just test your knowledge of television themes. Okay, we did football introduction show themes and everything, right? But I want to see your knowledge of television theme songs and know the history of some of these classic themes. Again, I'll say it again. This show was a classic show. And yes, it was a different world, right? Produced by Bill Cosby. Okay, we already know what happened with Bill over the years. But he brought a great show to us, correct? But there was three theme songs for this show. Again, I'll tell you, you will recognize one of the theme songs or the artist who sung one of the theme songs, but can you tell me who sung the other two theme songs? So let me start again. Here's the three theme songs to A Different World. Here we go.
I know my parents love me. Stand behind me, come what may. I know now that I'm ready, because I finally heard them say, it's a different world from where you come from.
Yeah.
That's the first one. Here's the second.
I know my parents loved me. Stand behind me, come for me. I know now that I'm ready, yeah. For I finally heard them say, it's a different world. Ooh. And where you come from, the fear is now.
Hello, I know you all know who the second one was.
Aretha Franklin.
Automatically. Okay.
Boys to Men.
But who did the first one? Okay, all right, that was the third. Who did the very first theme song to A Different World? Oh, I know this is going to be hard. Mm. And don't Google.
Hmm.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't know who did the first.
That was Phoebe Snow. Y'all know who Phoebe Snow is?
Oh, I don't know her.
Anybody know who Phoebe Snow is or was? Okay.
No.
Phoebe Snow penned the classic song. She penned a song called Never Letting Go. Phoebe Snow was she was like the R&B folk singer of the 70s. And Officer Crenshaw, I'm surprised you didn't know that or recognize that voice. But Phoebe Snow, she did the original It's a Different World. I'm going to play one of her songs later on. But okay, so let's move forward and see if you guys can guess this one. Guess what show this is, and guess who wrote this. I'm going to give you a hint after I play it of who wrote the track to this famous TV show that still plays in reruns and syndications from the late 1960s. No, I think it started in the 60s, all the way until the 70s. Check this out. Can anybody name the show?
Mission Impossible.
There you go.
What is it?
Mission Impossible.
Bam. Nope. You said that with confidence,
right?
Too.
Well, yeah, it is a cop show. Most of them do have that type of theme, but it's not Mission Impossible. It was around the same era.
SWAT?
Huh?
Was it called that?
Not SWAT. Let me give you a hint, okay? You know, in fact, you know, I'm going to start doing this more often so you can call a friend, you know, type of. I'm going to do a call a friend thing. I'm serious. This show. Okay. This particular show, to be honest, the actor who played in this show, actually, okay, he played an attorney on a show before this show. But this show, he played a paraplegic. That's a big ass hint.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
his earlier show. Now, hold on. Here's the clue. An earlier show in his career, he played a lawyer. But in this show, he did play an officer, but he was an officer who was a paraplegic.
Ironside?
There you go. Finally. Wah, wah, wah.
What is it called?
That was
what
listening
is it called?
To Ironside. If you remember, but I'm saying is this. You remember a show called now you guys got me confused. Perry Mason. The old show called Perry Mason, the lawyer.
Yep.
That was Raymond Burr, who played Perry Mason. Raymond Burr later on in his career played Ironside. His last name was Ironside. I can't remember what his first name was, but he was a detective who had got shot, but still continued to be a detective in his wheelchair. Okay, but the thing is, do you know who wrote the theme to this song? And I want to give you one last clue. The person who wrote this theme is one of the biggest all-time writers or music producers in music history, and he's
Clive Davis. Oh, never mind. Never mind. I already lost.
Mm-hmm.
Can I phone
You're
a
out.
Friend?
Phone a friend. Phone
Your
a friend.
Friend. Are you still on the phone?
Probably.
Hey, Mike, you're my friend calling you.
Right.
No. You can't call the host. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to start putting a post. Do not call the host for questions. I'm going to give you a hint. Again, listen to what I just said. The producer of this or the individual who wrote this theme is a major, legendary music producer of all time.
Quincy Jones.
Ding, 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 ding. But you still get an eh because you didn't get it right the first time. Okay? Yes, Quincy Jones did Ironside.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Now,
interesting.
Here's a TV show. I know all of us, well, maybe not some of you younger folks, but I know that Officer Crenshaw saw this show, but it actually had two theme songs. So I'm going to let them both play. They're really short. All right. And I'm going to give you a hint. It was Far Out. Here we go. Okay, here's the second one. I gave you two theme songs of the same show. What's the name of this show?
The Outer Limits.
Ding, 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 ding. Austin Crenshaw got it right. It's Lost in Space. No, you said Outer Space. But, yes, that's Lost in Space. They had two big theme songs. Now I'm going to play a couple more. This one, if you grew up in this era, you should know this one. I mean, right off the bat, I don't even need, in fact, I don't think I should even give you a hint on this one unless you get it wrong. Check this one out.
Hi, welcome to our show.
That's the, what is the name of that? Freaking show. Something Boys or My Three Sons.
Three Sons.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it right. Exactly. That's My Three Sons. Okay. Y'all getting back on the board. Y'all getting back on the board. Now I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for you. Okay. I'm going to make it a little more difficult for you. This one here, I mean, really, this one blew me
somebody
away.
Somebody texted and said, My Three Sons. Somebody, they still listening. Somebody texted and said, My Three Sons.
Well, they got it right. Fantastic.
Right.
All right. Somehow, when I touched the board, it got me out of my listening here. Okay, now I'm back to it. Let me scroll back up. And I only have like two more left. Okay. Yes, that is My Three Sons. Okay, so these are going to be a little bit difficult. And these, I'm going to give you a great hint here. Both of these theme songs were theme songs for multiple shows. There's your hint. For multiple shows that aired on Sundays. I want you to tell me what's the name of the actual show. You follow me? There was multiple shows every Sunday, but you got to tell me the name of the show, not the individual shows, but the name of the show. What was the name of the pilot or the whole show, okay? I'm going to play this one, and this one was written by Henry Mancini. Here we go. we're back. Now, look, you don't have to tell me actually the theme song of this. I'm going to make it easier for you. Name three of the shows that were under that theme song. I'll give you a hint. It aired on NBC.
That ain't no hint.
That's a hint.
No, it ain't. I mean, that was did a lot of music for a lot of shows.
No, I'm saying for this. I know he did a lot of movie stuff. I just told you he did this theme song for a TV show that had multiple shows under the same theme song. I said that. Okay. I said name. Hold on. Let me finish. No. Hold on, Crenshaw. I'm gonna say it again. This was a theme for multiple shows. That's a hint. Now, if you remember that era, very few. But now, then I gave you another hint. I said that it was multiple shows. But then I said, you know what? You don't have to give me the actual name of the TV show, meaning the primetime show. Just name three of the shows that will air, and they will air on Sunday. You can give me the name of the theme or either three of the shows that will air on Sunday on NBC under that umbrella. Come on now.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
I know you watch it.
I hear the music in my head, but I can't think of the name of the show. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? I think everybody else is a little bit younger than you and me. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know.
Uh-huh. All right. So I'm going to give Officer Crenshaw a few hints. There was a detective that wore a trench coat. What was his name?
Columbo.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. We'll give you another hint. There was a husband and wife that used to on this particular show.
Art
of the Heart.
Let me finish. See, you jumping. There was a husband and wife. McMillan and who?
McMillan and wife.
Ding, 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 ding. See how simple that is? And then there was this one cowboy who used to ride his horse every now and then in the episodes in the streets of New York City with his hat on. What was his name?
Oh, shit.
You better know.
Shit. What was his name?
You know what I'm talking about. The actor's name was Dennis Weaver.
Right.
The show was called McCloud. And also there was actually four shows. And so for you guys that don't know, yes, back in the day it was and actually let me tell you, the theme song is called the NBC Sunday Night Mystery Movie. Every Sunday, one of these shows would come on. You never really knew which one was coming on, but they'd have four different characters, right? And every Sunday, well, yeah, you kind of knew in your TV guide, which don't even exist anymore, but you had Columbo, you had McCloud, you had McMillan and Wife, and you also had Heck Ramsey, which was another show. There were four different shows that would rotate every Sunday on NBC. Okay, so I'm going to do one more. And this one here was another one of those theme shows. I don't have all the information of all the shows, but this was actually produced and recorded by a black, individual. Let me see if you can guess who this person is. And this was called The Men.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is a multiple choice question. A. All right, multiple choice here. Was it A? Let me see if I can throw some loopholes in here. Okay. Was it Curtis Mayfield? Was it B?
Yes.
Norman Whitfield? Or was it C, Isaac Hayes?
Curtis Mayfield.
Let me see who else has a guess. See if everybody's on the same page. Curtis Mayfield, Norman Whitfield, or Isaac Hayes? Ladies, you got a guess?
Well, I think I was a baby when that was going on. I'm going to say C.
C was what?
Isaac Hayes.
Okay. Cotton, what's your answer? Curtis Mayfield, Norman Whitfield, or Isaac Hayes? Ding, 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 ding. Are we playing Jeopardy here? Come on, Cotton, give an answer. Curtis Mayfield, Norman Whitfield, or Isaac Hayes? Well, she's not going to answer, I guess. All right. Let's see. Which one was it? Oh, yes. It was definitely Isaac Hayes. Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations to Lady Justice. She got it right. It was definitely Isaac Hayes, and yeah, it was called The Mint. Congratulations to Lady Justice. Here you go, Lady Justice. All right. And so let me ask Lady Justice, what made you pick what made you pick C?
The name sounds familiar, and I remember when I was in school, they told me if you didn't know the answer, always choose C.
All right, you guys. Wow, okay. I just wanted to go ahead and throw that out there. But you guys did pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. But yes, Isaac Hayes broke that to me.
Some of the same instrumental was in Share. I said I should have known because some of the same instrumental was in Share.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right. Listen to the music. Listen to the music. Same thing as Share. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now you got it. So when I do this again, you gotta check that out, which we're going to do that periodically just for fun. And I appreciate you guys participating. I knew this would be kind of funny and fun. But I know I threw some stuff there that some of you are a little bit younger probably didn't know. But I'm going to, you know, come up with some others. And we're going to have some prizes, though, actually. We did it before. We're going to have some other prizes and everything. Because it's very important to know the history of music. And not just music, but everything, right? We need to definitely do so. We have about 15 minutes left, and we got to get out of here. You know what I love about Blog Talk now is that we're, by having our own network and doing this, we can extend time, or at least I can extend time, for us to continue our conversations. Don't have to rush and get off the air. Even if I don't use the whole 3 hours or so, I used to be down to just 2 hours, but I can extend it to an extra hour, 15 minutes, whatever I want to do. Cotton can do the same thing with her show. So that's a good thing, to be able to work within your parameters. Schedule for 2 hours, but be prepared for three. You know,
right.
That's how I look at it now. Be prepared for three. And one thing that the late Lynn Tolliver told me, if something's going well, you know, and you guys, most of you should know who the legendary Lynn Tolliver is. He said, if it's going well, don't change it. Keep it going. If you can extend it, keep it going.
And if I can extend the time, that's what I would do. So I thank, you know, all of you, thank all of you for your support for what we all do together each and every Saturday and now on Thursdays once every month. But we're going to try to change that to a little bit longer or more dates if possible. I thank you all and I love you all. Thanks to our guests this evening, Bombay J, love his music. Much blessings to him. And we all know it's going to be a great show tonight at the venue he's going to be performing at. Don't forget, coming up, the one, the only Mr. Carl Thomas is going to be joining us, okay, prior to him performing here in Atlanta. And I think, Cotton, you said you're going to come down here for that show. Is Lady J going to join you too?
I hope so.
You can't
okay.
I sure hope
with
so,
a blindfold.
Man.
With a blindfold, too.
I'm going to have my bag packed. I'm going to make it real easy.
Well, you know, when Karen was on, she said, well, look, well, Cotton, you were here. She said, you know, and everything. Now, I can't promise everybody tickets to seats and everything. I have to talk to Karen. But she said, yeah, I know you got your co-host and everything. And I meant to tell her, you know, I do have a lot of co-hosts who will travel from Kansas City. So,
right.
You know, when you say you have co-hosts, you better write down the number of co-hosts that are actually here and individuals who are the network, too, if you know, putting out that, you know, that whole thing. But
yeah.
But we'll find out. And regardless, everybody on the J King Network, on the Michael Gay Network, I was on their network earlier, but on the Michael Gay Network, we're going to always make sure that if you come to Atlanta from out of state, you are definitely going to be at the venue. I will make sure of that. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We've done, Officer Crenshaw was at the one meet and greet that we had some years ago. And we need to do it again, and so we're going to start planning on that. And it doesn't matter, you know, we're going to make it happen. I love the fact that when you can meet folks and never met them. Cotton was down here not too long ago, had not met her, finally met her in person. It was an honor. It was a pleasure, and I love that she's like a sister. I love her to meet the rest of the family here and everything. And it's just so amazing how, you know, you can meet folks and feel like family. You understand what I'm saying? And continue to network with each other. And we all have concerns. We all have, you know, things that we can share with each other. And that's what's so important with what we do is to communicate. Having that open communication and these discussions of things that concern us. And we all live in different communities, different states, right? But we all experience mm-hmm. the same thing. And whenever you cross a line and share your experience and see that some are similar and some are different, then that's where it becomes even more important to talk amongst ourselves and share amongst the world, which we have that opportunity here through Blog Talk Radio. Hey, you guys, before we get out of here, around the board, Officer Crenshaw, your final words, and I'm going to let the gentleman go first since he's the only one outside of myself, and then you ladies let us know again what's going to be coming up on the one and only new show, Let's Talk About It.
Just want to let everyone know that stay joyful, stay happy, find a way to make yourself laugh, and remember, I love you all.
Amen. Let's see. Let me go ahead and go to the one and only Lady J. And I'm so thankful that you called in, and you were the first one to call in, by the way.
Well, you know what? Today I feel like I needed to TMGN Network and the ladies of TMG Talk Radio. Didn't even know we had one missing, but hey, I was there. We was ready.
Okay. Amen. All right.
Any best friend?
My time?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Hey. So I just want to, of course, I want to take this time one more time to thank Michael Gay for creating such a great platform for us. And the excitement that I have for us being on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a few other musical platforms is such an honor to be a part of TMGN. This is Cotton Campbell, and we have our second show that will be coming up. Let's talk about it. July the 23rd, we'll be discussing Wade, Roe versus Wade. So please tune in. Thank you, everybody, and I'm glad that we got to do this show tonight. Thank you, Bombay J, and to all my co-hosts.
All right.
Thank you.
How are you guys? As always, God bless you, and thank you so much. I'm always thankful, you know, for every Saturday that we do this, and then the conversations that I have during the week. I'm not going to go into a whole detail and everything, but, you know, there was a show today I was visiting. They were celebrating their 7th year on the air, and come to find out, which I didn't know, I thought they had been on the air longer than I was. But I said, no, you started before us. And I'm like, really? So what, I'm like going on 8 years? You know, time really does fly, y'all. It really does. I've been doing this so long, I just lost track of time, to be honest, and they had to really remind me, no, you were doing this before we were. So that's how come now I'm really paying attention to time, you know what I'm saying, and paying attention to what we do, how we do it, and how effective we are, right? You get my point? And so it's time to do so. It's time for me to do so, and I'm so thankful and glad to have Cotton Campbell and the ladies of TMGN joining the network. You know, sometimes you want things to happen immediately, but, you know, if you take your time and just work it out and just let God guide. And that's what I've been really doing. It's like, you know, I thought about stop doing this. This other individual said they thought about this, that their show today would be their last show due to some other BS that was going on. But I said, you know what? I thought the same thing. But I said to myself, why? Why stop having a platform that you have so many gifted people coming to share their gifts with you? And now you got other people with gifts sharing their gifts with you and other people. You follow what I'm saying? Don't stop something that's positive. That affects a lot of people. I don't think y'all heard me. I'm going to sound like a pastor now. But I can't stop, because everybody that's involved in this has invested a lot of their time, their energy, and their knowledge. And the only thing it can do is share more knowledge. My name is Michael Gay. You've been listening to the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, the Michael Gay Show. We'll see you next Saturday. Make sure you tune in to Let's Talk About It on the 23rd, every third Thursday of each month. Gonna get on out of here with not the original theme song of our show, but I was told that the one that we play at the start of the show is too long. So I'm going to take you back to the one that I got from Mr. Darren Durst, former member of the legendary group on Motown Records, Ozone. Y'all have a blessed remainder of your weekend. See y'all next week.
Good night.